amazing falsetto, and I personally think that his voice often carries a sadness, which is especially good for ballad songs. And also, if you just listen to their songs, you might not realize how challenging it is to sing their songs. But I watched a TV program about them before, and it showed that their songs are really hard to sing because they have a wide range of sounds and often change keys. Iguchi graduated from Tokyo University of the Arts, which is the most famous art school in Japan, so he's developed his incredible singing technique. And I think Tsuneta deeply understands Iguchi's vocal talent and characteristics, and this allows him to produce these great songs that many people love. So now let's move on to the second song, called Sakayume, and this song was the ending theme song of the movie, anime movie Jujutsu Kaisen Zero.
あなた。 番だとしても心の奥そこからあなたが溢れ出して求め合って重なり合うその先で僕ら夢と何あなたが望むならこの夢を愛して
Sakayume by King Gnu. I'm very glad to share one of my favorite Japanese music artists, King Gnu, with you today. And let me tell you how to spell their group name. It's spelled K-I-N-G-G-N-U.
So you think you know Wix, do you?
And
shop Black Friday at Michael's now!
And I hope you like their songs. If you're interested in them, you can listen to their music on Spotify, Apple Music, and other music streams. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayu. Ayu Sakamoto with our Japanese artist feature. Next up, this is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. A fine woodworker will have a chest full of tools of different sizes and shapes, each designed for a specific task. Birds also have highly refined tools, their bills. The size and shape of a bird's bill match perfectly the food it seeks and the way it obtains its meals. Think of a hummingbird. Slipping its long, thin bill deep into a flower to suck out nectar. Or the large hook-shaped bill of an eagle, ripping apart its prey. The chunky bill of a puffin can hold a lineup of small fish, allowing the bird to gather a large store of food before flying, often long distances, back to its burrow. Different species of shorebirds that forage shoulder to shoulder in tidal estuaries have bills of different lengths. As a result, they don't compete for the same food. Plovers collect prey from the surface using short, blunt bills. Dowitchers probe under the surface with longer bills. Curlews, with their extremely long bills, reach deep into the substrata to find food. Through evolution, each bird has developed the tool it needs to survive. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
All right. Are you guys familiar with the Beatles?
Yes, I'm familiar.
You may or may not know, they have a new single out, which may seem surprising, although it's, of course, been all over the media and social media for some months now. But in the wake of their Get Back project of a couple of years ago, they spent some time working on the remaining members, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, along with support from some others in their team, and took a John Lennon demo and used some technical wizardry to isolate the vocal track and then created new backing tracks for it. And it was released just last week. Beatles hardcore keeners have probably gone and listened to this already, but we're going to give it a spin now. This is the first new Beatles track they've released since, I think, about... There's a Beatles anthology CD series that came out about 20 years ago, and they produced a couple new songs with a similar sort of methodology, although not as much as the modern stuff. But this is called Now and Then. This is from The Beatles.
1, 2.
Now and Then, a new single from The Beatles. Thanks. Up next now, Peter, you're going to talk to us about the film Invictus.
Invictus, yes.
So before we get started, what made you decide you wanted to talk about this film?
Well, 2 weeks ago I talked about the South African, the Vancouver South African Film Festival.
Yep.
And this was made in 2009. Mm-hmm. Directed by Clint Eastwood,
yep.
Interesting enough. And he's kind of a very conservative person. He talked to a chair in 2012.
Infamously.
Yes. So, ironically, another conservative group, the John Birch Society, was actually critical of the film. I'm going to be defending both the film and the John Birchers in a way, because it sounds like a pretty racist statement. When the film came out, the John Birch Society said, Mandela is nothing more than a commie terrorist thug. Which I don't agree with, but he did get support from, like, Castro, a few other Marxist regimes. And he actually, his regime was not Marxist, and it still isn't to this day. But because they courted him such favor, I think he was more attuned to sort of be sympathetic towards them than I would. Anyway, Evictus is based on true events. Morgan Freeman plays Nelson Mandela. Matt Damon plays one of the rugby players. And what it was that the rugby team was over 50% white. And this is after apartheid has ended.
Yeah, it sort of takes place after apartheid has ended and Nelson Mandela has become a new majority regime in South Africa as the president. So,
but the rugby team still is predominantly white, and the black majority really doesn't care if they win or lose, you know. So Nelson Mandela felt that for the morale and for better feelings towards the white minority, that even though it was not going to ever be a majority black team, that the people of South Africa should be supporting the rugby team. And they win. And perhaps it wouldn't matter if they won anyway. It was more that he wanted to have good feelings across the country about things.
And I think it was one of the first tournament where, of course, because of apartheid and the sanctions placed on South Africa during the last years of the apartheid regime, South Africa, their teams weren't allowed to play in international tournaments like the Rugby World Cup. And so this is kind of their return to the international stage.
Well, you're giving me a bit of background I didn't know about the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting, too.
Yeah.
You can see that you can't really see it. I tried to see it last night on the internet. The libraries, I think, have it, and you can buy it or you can have to pay for it. But it's worth it if you haven't seen it.
It's definitely a good film.
And I like to tell a bit of background on the actual John Birch Society that came out against it, which I didn't agree with it. But I'm going to say that the John Birchers are not a racist organization. As I said, the reason they came out against him because they saw him as an actual Marxist. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read from a 1971 book, the infamous Nondericote Conspiracy, that was really kind of
What was that again?
Nondericote Conspiracy, 1971. And actually, this is where Alex Jones got all his ideas, actually. But this is where a lot of them say, well, they're anti-Semitic. Here's a quote from it. Anti-Semites have played into the hands of the conspiracy by trying to portray the entire conspiracy as Jewish. Nothing can be further than the truth. The J.P. Morgans and the Rockefeller international banking institutions have played a key role in the conspiracy. So, actually, a lot of people to this very day say the John Birchers were anti-Semitic. No, I mean, actually in this book, which really was aligned with two people, Gary Allen, Larry Abraham, who have passed away, they, in this very book, have said we're not anti-Semitic. We don't. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that the Rothschilds, which they do mention, and they say just because the Rothschilds are part of what they... I wouldn't call it a conspiracy. I would call it the elite, the global elite, which keeps South Africa in debt, too. I mean, so it's ironically that they didn't see that they should have been sympathetic to the movie and Nelson Mandela in general, because he's a victim of their conspiracy that they speak of in many ways.
But the John Birch Society, they are kind of a bit of a reactionary right-wing organization, aren't they?
Oh, well, they are. But one thing was interesting. I saw a number of years ago now, there was a documentary on PBS about, I think it was in the Los Angeles area. It was like a station like we have here, or co-op radio, and they started earlier on, mid-60s, and they said that ironically, one of the shows was a John Birch Society show. And they had it. It was a half hour every week. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was sort of a stuck out like a sore thumb. But they said that ironically, some of what they were saying was kind of jiving with them a bit. So. Anyway, there's a few. Oh, actually, the book here, which is interesting, is that it actually comes. It mentions a few things that were really at the time were not mentioned. They mentioned the Bilderberg conferences. They mentioned that Robert McNamara, that was then the director, the president of the World Bank, was attending the Bilderberg conferences. And there's Carol Quigley. Carol Quigley was a professor at Georgetown University, and he taught Bill Clinton, actually. And so the book didn't bring that up because that was a bit early on. He hadn't quite become famous yet, Bill Clinton.
not in 1970. I think he was still a student, maybe even, or just fairly graduated from school.
Yeah, it was 1968 he became of Carol Quigley. And Carol Quigley... Oh, you got me off guard. I wanted to get made sure that I had that thing about anti. I won the bus there. I was.
Yep.
But anyway, without directly quoting the book, Carol Quigley actually said something which I have read quite a while ago. It's called Tragedy and Hope.
Yeah.
This is 1966. It's a chronicle of 1895 to their then present times. He actually says that there is, in that book, that he was favorable towards it, Carol Quigley.
Favorable towards what?
Towards some sort of insider group. He said, I am not critical of this organization, but I'm just critical that they don't make themselves known.
Mm.
And what happened was that actually, Carol Quigley... actually met with the writers of None Dare Call Conspiracy around 1972, because the John Birchers did another book before None Dare Call Conspiracy was called the the name escapes me, but anyway, it actually arguably in violation of actual copyright took the Tragedy and Hope book and copied about one-fifth of the book and put their comments to it. And then Carol Quigley went to his publisher saying they're invading my copyright. So actually, right. Around 1972, he had a debate with the authors of None Dare Call Conspiracy.
Yep.
And there is an interview on the internet of Carol Quigley around 1975 saying he's kind of, well, maybe they had a few ideas that weren't so invalid. Anyway, it's a lot of, I guess it's a swamp we've entered there.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the day in the 70s, you know, the only way, you know, I remember there was certainly a talk of conspiracies, but they often seemed to be like charming conspiracies, like Elvis is still alive and things like that. Not nearly as sometimes troublesome as many of the ones we hear about today. Although, I guess we can still laugh at the flat earthers.
Well, oh, whatever. Anyway, but as I say, I mean, it's I have some common ground, but not entirely.
So. Right.
But I just to mention, the Beatles in the mid-60s had on Saturday mornings a show, a cartoon show that I saw about 2 seconds of at the time. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't, but I'll look it up. All right, we're going to get on with some more music here. This is from an Icelandic band called Sigur Rós. They've been putting out stuff for quite a while. I think they've been going for about 15 years now. This is from a new album from them, and this track is called Fall. Sigur Rós and Fall, that's from their album Atta, new on the playlist here at CJSF. We are coming to the conclusion of today's edition of Speak Up. In the studio with me have been Ayu.
And me, yes. Peter.
And Peter. And we will be back next week. Coming up in a little bit of, in about a minute or so, is Democracy Now! At 11 o'clock. Can you just refresh us again who the artist was we heard from today?
Today I introduced the artist called King Gnu.
And you can find their music on the various streaming services, YouTube and other places. We also heard from the Beatles with their new single from Peter about the film Invictus. And a documentary produced here at CJSF Radio about... the Guatemalan diaspora and escaping from Guatemala. Coming up today on CJSF, as I've said, Democracy Now! In just a minute, up at 12 noon, is Wandering Rhythms with Nick Legacy. A little later in the afternoon at 3 p.m. is Typically Tuesday. And that's all that's coming up for today. Lots more great programming on CJSF. We are done here. We're just going to play a little bit more from Sigur Rós here to well, now we're out of time. So thanks for listening. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Ayu.
Thank you.